Hey folks, Richard Tubb here. I'm at the Cloud and Cybersecurity Expo at the London XL in London. It's huge. And I'm here today with Mustin Thomas, who is, I was going to say, you're the head of cybersecurity EMEA at Pax8, but that's probably not your full title, is it?
No, thanks for having me, Richard. Senior Director of Security.
Senior Director of Security, yeah. There we go. You've just done a presentation on one of the stages here, and the title was, let me get this right, Fire, Finance, and Phishing with a PH. Have I got that correct?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was a wonderful presentation. It's the first time I've seen it. So I wanted to ask you a few questions about it, actually.
Sure.
So you came up with a really interesting analogy right at the start, which has to do with quite a sad story from history. But could you mind sharing some more details about it?
Yeah, okay, thank you. And the analogy really was around the Man Gulch fire, which was a very deadly, in fact, forest fire in the US in the late 1940s. And that's a long time ago. But it was around learning the lessons, really, around management and how you deploy your resources and how you think outside the box to be, in their case, maybe would have saved lives. The lead character in this, Wag Dodge, basically invented what we call the escape fire. So he thought outside the box, he thought, if I burn the fuel and then I get into that fire once it's burnt, the fire will pass me by. And that's exactly what happened to him. Unfortunately, 13 of his team perished in that fire. And a lot of lessons I've learned. And to this day, they still go to that location and learn the lessons of how quickly a fire can spread, and their whole management techniques have changed completely since that time from the lessons they learned. And I think the parallels I'm trying to draw there really is, yes, it's quite a shocking example, but it's really about cyber attacks and how we set our businesses up. You know, we need to use our strengths, but learn from lessons of the past about how things can move really quickly and how we can adapt and look at things using our knowledge that we've gained over many years ourselves, really, rather than just following the crowd, as it were. So that's the sort of idea that we're trying to get across, and hopefully it sounded as if it hit the mark.
It really did. And the thing I like about it the most, obviously, very sad story, you know. And what year was that?
1949.
But the lessons that you mentioned coming out of it is about not just following the pack. You know, what he did in that situation there was, you know, you might look at it and go, that doesn't make any sense, but clearly it does. And now we've learned from that and going forward. So, you know, and I'd encourage anybody who gets to, you know, to investigate that story, we'll include it in the show notes, perhaps I'll put a link to the actual, you know, the news articles about it from the past. But you've really made it easy for people to understand, oh, you know, that might be an isolated story, but what are the lessons that we can take for it from cybersecurity?
Sure.
One of the biggest challenges that I'm seeing with cybersecurity at the moment is people think it will never happen to them. You know, and obviously in the case of, you know, those firefighters and what it did happen to them, and it's, you know, lessons were learned and that. So I really like the way that story is helping get across to people. Yeah, this is, can happen to anybody. When you're speaking to MSPs, what are they seeing the appetite from SMB customers towards cybersecurity at the moment? Are they still putting their heads in the sand, the clients that isn't saying it won't happen to me, or are people getting more savvy nowadays?
I think it's probably a bit of a split. I think you will still get end users, and you definitely are, that are just like, yeah, no one's really interested in my data, no one's interested in that, and we all know that's not the case. They may not be actually interested in you, they're just after that data and those credentials more than anything else. But I think from an increasing, I wouldn't necessarily know whether it's a majority yet, but from an increasing sector, a lot of MSP partners we're dealing with are saying, yeah, our customers are coming to us and saying, you know, I've heard we could be at issue yet. What can we do to do this? You know, how can we do this? And I think that's what we're trying to get across here to our partners is we can help you make that translation, hopefully with stories like I've just given, to say, you know, bad stuff can happen, but it's not about, you know, fear, uncertainty and doubt. It's not about that. It's about knowing, learning those lessons and then giving really good bespoke advice to them. So I think in answer to your question, I think we're getting there. I think we are getting there because of the news and obviously channels like your own are spreading. Look, this can happen. We need to get it across. But there's still a long ways to go.
Yeah. And what about for MSPs listening to this? They're saying, I'm having conversations with my clients, SMBs or people at the small business level organizations. but they're still just saying, yeah, we'll get around to it. Without using FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which we're all familiar with,
yeah.
And there's a fine line, isn't there, between saying to your clients, it can hit the fan, it can happen, and here's some examples, but not scaring the living wits out of them. What does that line look like to you nowadays? How can MSPs educate their clients without putting the fear of God into them?
I think that, I think you've just said the word exactly. I think you need to focus on that education piece. I think rather than getting people along and saying, look how bad things could be, you know, or going to a quarterly business review and saying, you know, these bad things happen, we need to do this. Educate, just freely educate and say, we saw that someone else in your sector got attacked like this. We don't want you to be that person. So I think we should do this. We should help with this. And in many cases, security can be an enabler as well, can make you more efficient, certainly reduce risk. A lot of people are looking at insurance and what have you. So rather than that fear, you could say, actually, you might be able to even reduce other costs for you if you spend a bit here. And of course, it gives you an edge sometimes in the market, because if you're the provider, let's say accountancy services or legal services, whatever, that really focus on security, you can push that out there, because people will recognize that these guys look after their data. They look after me and my data. So I'm going to go to those guys.
Yeah.
So it's a good news story. We try and spread the positive sides of being secure rather than, like you say, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which no one really wants to do. So I think that... I think that people are starting to get that, and we're trying to give them the tools to go and speak to their clients about that and talk about moving to the big table, in other words, going to that board table and getting in front of those decision makers to early on in their decision-making process, rather than when they've already made decisions and budgets based on old values. Let's see if we can alter the tables a little bit. Maybe they'll just move some spending from A to B. Don't have to spend more, just retarget it. So that's what we try and encourage them to do, and be that good news story, you know, that we can make this better for you rather than look how bad it is.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to get in that part.
So, you know, you're preaching to the choir with me. So we've been on the same page for a long time. We've been friends for a long time, you know, about how we educate end users about the issues in cybersecurity and the potential threats. I had a really interesting pushback from an MSP recently. So I wrote about it. I think I quoted you in the article. And I said, look, you've got to educate end users, clients, on other scenarios, other businesses like them who have been impacted. And one MSP got in touch with me and said, oh, that's all well and good if you're in a big city or somewhere like that. There's plenty of examples. But I deal with rural clients. And we don't have those issues. How would you respond to that? How can MSPs who are dealing with clients in maybe small villages or rural areas, or just in areas where the stories have not come out about businesses who have been impacted and been breached, how can they educate their clients without, once again, going to scenario stories that really don't resonate with their target audience?
Well, you know, I come from an area of the country where
yeah.
I used to run an MSP dealing with small companies. In fact, I think we did a show about it once.
We did, a long time ago.
And how to support them. And it is a different mindset, slightly. Although, you know, it's we've got the same threats and we've got the same opportunities. So I think what I would say is try and identify, as you just said, then turn that around and try and find stories that identify with them. So if you're in the rural economy, you know, if we turn this to real crime as opposed to cybercrime, you know, real crime for the rural economy is rife. You know, farmers have all kinds of stuff stolen all the time or whatever. It's a nightmare for them. And I know that. And the whole drug economy works that way as well. You know, the whole county lines bit and have you. The same is true of cybersecurity. It doesn't matter whether you're in central Reading or London or whatever, or you're in Mid Wales. You're still at risk of cybercrime. So I think what we're trying to do is find some local examples. And a great resource of this would be the Cyber Resilience Centres, you know, backed by the local police of wherever you are. And they will give you examples. That may be not the exact person, but they will give you examples of what's going on. So I'd maybe, you know, for an example, get someone into a lunch and learn, get three or four companies in together or whatever you can, or maybe go to where they are. Maybe
yes.
Go to their National Farmers Union or go to their local Chamber of Commerce or somewhere like that. Say, can I present on this? And then give them local examples of maybe, I don't know, a tractor dealer that got broken into
yeah.
or a, you know, local, you know, farm produce type cooperative, those sort of things, and try and make them identify with that, because that does happen. Cybercrime rarely is targeted. It's normally a spray effect. And if you happen to be in rural Northumberland, you'll be caught exactly the same way as someone in London.
Absolutely.
So I think it's, if you're in that market and you're doing it, you know it better than anyone else. So actually, you've got a bit of a superpower there as well. Because not only can you now identify with them, you know their problems and you know their local difficulties. So I think in some ways, it's a superpower for someone who's working in areas like that.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And I knew you'd be the right person to ask. So PAX 8, let's talk about PAX 8 for a minute. I've interacted with quite a lot of MSPs who are here today who are raving fans of PAX 8. I think you saw me doing a video earlier on, somebody was just couldn't stop speaking well about them and that. And I've seen a shift in PAX 8's philosophy over the past couple of years as well. They were always cybersecurity first, but they've invested heavily. Obviously, you've got Matt Lee and the team in the States. Yep. You've got Mostyn Thomas and the team here in Europe as well. People know you, they trust you. What can we expect from PAX 8 on the cybersecurity front going forward?
We have a considerable pipeline of vendors who are queuing up to join us, and we've got a very high bar for people to come in. Hence, why not everyone's in at the moment. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of anticipation about what's coming. So we've got that coming forward, but we're investing heavily in education for our partners. So you know, we don't make money out of that. That's just what we do. It's part of what we do. So you're going to see a lot more online resources and a lot more in-person events. As you know, I deliver the Cybersecurity Masterclass, but you're going to see that expand considerably in the UK and Europe, and many more events we've got coming along, like Beyond in Berlin. There's going to be a huge program of learning events there as well. So we're really, really trying to push that, how to do these things, how to do them properly, how to educate your clients, give you the tools to do it, as well as great vendors too. So we've got a bit of everything coming on, and the latest iteration of the marketplace is going to be amazing as well, with some incredible resources that are not only good for marketing, but they'll also be good for security too.
Yeah, and I've had a sneak peek into that, see what's coming, so it's definitely worth keeping an eye at.
Absolutely.
I want to ask at a personal level as well as a friend. You know, you alluded to the fact we've had you on the podcast a couple of times now, going back, talking about when you were an MSP, moved to MSSP, and now you're on the other side of the fence and working on as a vendor as well. What has that transition been like, and what's been the biggest learning curve for you being on the vendor side of things as opposed to the MSP side?
So the biggest learning on the vendor side would be not undervaluing the experience I have as an MSP. I know my cybersecurity, and I've learned things as I've been in PAX 8, loads, an immeasurable amount, which has been amazing. A great thing. I love learning, so it's been great. But the biggest thing I brought with is I didn't understand that companies like PAX 8 and many of the other people in the industry haven't got that experience as an MSP.
Yeah.
So they'll say to me, well, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, from a cyber point of view. And they're like, no, because you ran an MSP for a long time. What do you think from that point of view? And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, if it was me, I would do this. And I sort of undervalued that knowledge that I got. And that's what's turned into a number of the presentations I've done now, is really about, look, use your superpower because you've got one.
Yes.
I never realized I had it until I left the MSP world to a certain extent and came into PAX 8 and that whole world. I never realized what it was worth. It's really, really useful.
Yeah.
So that would be my number one thing. My it's been a learning curve, really steep, clearly, working for a large corporate entity is going to be after running your own business for 20 odd years. But don't undervalue the skill set that you have. It's really certainly really valued at PAX 8.
Yeah, it's the curse of knowledge, isn't it? Somebody who is a former MSP myself, you come out and I have conversations now, and it's very flattering when they say, thank you, that made a difference, or whatever. And it's like, I just assume that everybody, and you do the same, Mostyn.
Yeah.
You know, but I've got to say, I follow you on LinkedIn. You must think I'm stalking you because I'm liking and commenting on virtually every one of your posts, but you share so much great knowledge on there. So long may that continue. But for anybody who's not familiar with PAX 8, wants to find out more or wants to connect with you, where should they find you online?
Well, PAX 8 is, we're aiming to be the world's favorite cloud commerce marketplace. So if you need anything cloud or security, anything like that, go to pax8.com. In the UK, pax8.com/UK. Loads of great resources there. You can go from there. If they want to contact me, email me direct to PAX 8. which is mthomas@pax8.com. Happy to field emails anytime. Or go to the Pax8 website. Or for me, you can always contact me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Austin Thomas, there's not many of us around. So that's fairly straightforward to find it, and I'm happy to connect on LinkedIn anytime.
And we'll include all your details in the show notes for this as well. I'll give a shout out. So I alluded to the fact that Mostyn and I had done a couple of previous interviews. So if you want to see Mostyn's evolution from MSP to MSSP to cybersecurity expert working for a vendor, they're on previous episode of Tub Talk. You can go to tub.co/PAX and then the number 8, tub.co/PAX8, and you'll get all of the previous interviews there. Lovely little bonus ode here. Mostyn, thank you for taking time out to speak to us. I mean, you just come up on stage and I collared you and said, come and talk to me. We're in a noisy environment. I think you deserve a bit of a break now, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. What a pleasure anyway, as ever.
Thank you, Mostyn. Cheers,
thank
mate.
You. Cheers.
Hey folks, Richard here. Thanks for listening today. I know you've got a ton of options for who you listen to nowadays, so I really appreciate your support. Do you have any feedback on this episode? Ideas for future guests? Tweet me at Tubblog using the hashtag TubTalk. I respond to every tweet and really appreciate your feedback.
Hey team, this is Richard again. Just one more thing before you take off, and that is MSP Insights. Now, every Tuesday, I share my thoughts on the business of IT with you, the managed service community. Thousands of managed service providers already subscribe to MSP Insights. It's easy to sign up, easy to cancel. MSP Insights is basically a short email from me every Tuesday without fail with advice on growing your IT business, plus cool resources I found, discovered, or started exploring that week. It's kind of like my diary of cool things, and often includes articles or books I've read, tools I've discovered, and events I think you'd be interested in, often sent to me by my friends and Tub Talk podcast guests. So if that sounds fun, a short tiny bite of MSP goodness every Tuesday, and you'd like to try it out, just go to go.tub.co/Tuesday. That's go.tub.co/Tuesday. Drop in your email and you'll get the very next one. Thanks for listening.